Europe on Air. This is the 10th programme and we're doing it on the fishing industry. I'm your host, Heidi Bedell. And when I asked around about the fishing industry to people, very few people know much about the fishing industry. So we have three very well-informed people here for you this afternoon. We have Anna Shevchik, who is a fishmonger and chef of Loaves and Fishes in Malahide. You're Hello. Very welcome. Hello. She has brought with her Niall McComish of Ocean Path. They are fish processors and wholesalers in Howth.
Hello.
And also we have expert Edward Fahey. He is involved with Fisheries and Coastal Resource Protection Expert, an author of a book Overkill and many other books, and also a member of the Environmental Pillar. Most people, well, in the Environmental Pillar, probably we will be hearing more about it over the next few months because they're forming a large part of the new kind of public speaking, public representation for the new community bodies. So you're very welcome. Thank you, Edward. So now we'll start with Anna. It's Thursday. It's Friday tomorrow.
Yeah.
People should be getting ready to maybe think about their fish. Yeah, yeah. I was very surprised when Anna told me that Friday is still the busiest day for fish purchase.
Yeah.
So how did you get into this, Anna? How did you get to
fish? I just when I moved into Malahide about a year ago. Working as a chef for so many years, I do have a love for fish. And I was really surprised that Malahide, as a coastal town, the last fishmonger was there about 30 years ago.
Yeah,
I think that was a great idea. And I think as well, me, the age that I am now, I'm
very young, by the way, to listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm trying to do something for myself, like I do. I do want to open something for myself. So, yeah, that's the idea. That's how Loaves and Fishes...
It's the kind of thing you have to have a go at sometimes. If you get an idea to have your own business, it's tempting. You have to go through with it, don't you,
yeah.
really? To...
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's not easy, but I guess it's worth it.
Yeah. How long are you open now?
Only open now, third week.
Oh, it's only your third week? Oh, wow, you're very new.
Yeah.
And what do you find is selling?
The most?
Yes, yeah.
Fish-wise?
Yeah, fish-wise.
I guess it's cod and salmon.
Cod and salmon. Salmon or cod.
Then if someone is going slightly tropical, they go for sea bass.
Really? Is that as exotic as we get?
That's
sea
it,
bass.
Yeah.
I noticed when I went down there as well, the first time I went in there, there was this beautiful smell of butter and it was, you were cooking fish.
Mm.
Now, what's that about? What you were cooking fish
on
site there?
It's just a little trick to get people into the mall.
It worked for me, I can tell you.
Caramelized onions in the morning.
Oh.
I guess I was doing some fish pie or something.
Right. Because
yeah.
you prepare you actually cook and prepare some of the fish as well, don't you?
Yeah,
right. As well
I
as
do.
The
mm-hmm.
the
No, I think that's what really is keeping me going is that I have no waste at all. I cook
Very
all
good.
The all the fish. I can do amazing dishes from the fish that I have. So I get fresh fish every morning into the shop.
She's pointing now at Niall. Over to you, Niall. So
yeah.
you're the supplier of this beautiful fish.
Yeah.
So how do you operate? What happens?
Okay, we operate out of Howth in County Dublin. Yeah, and we have a processing factory there, which is on West Pier, which is off the main drag of where all the other shops are. There's about 100 people working there, between the two different sites. And we buy fish from co-ops around Ireland, and we buy fish in Scotland as well in Peterhead Market, mainly around Castledownbere in Cork. We would buy off the same number of boats. The fish would land, say, on a Monday. We would have it up to our factory on the Tuesday evening. On the Monday evening, and we'd be processing that fish at about 5 o'clock in the morning. It would get loaded into vans, it'd be filleted, processed, and cut to whatever specifications our customers ask for, and packed away and out. And it travels. We supply most of the retail market within Ireland as well, so mainly dealing with multiples. But being from Malahide myself, we decided that we would supply the new fish shop as well.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. When you say process, do you mean like removing all the bones? We're not
removing
fond of
bones,
are we, in Ireland?
Yeah. We don't no. Like. 99% of our fish would be coming into us whole with the actual guts out. And we would basically process the actual fish, process each of the fillets then as well. So we would discard any of the sort of heads and tails. We also would take out bones and any bruising that would be on fish, that by the actual time the fillet is sitting on the counter, it's actually just a prime piece of fillet as well then. So we would sell probably 80 to 85% of our business would be on fillets only.
85% of your business would be fillets.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Irish consumers don't necessarily buy a whole lot of whole fish.
I know, So, I don't myself because I'd be frightened. I don't know what to do with it, to be quite honest. Just what type of fish?
Basically, the same as what Anna's after actually saying. There, salmon would obviously be our biggest, and we would have various different types of it. We would have a skin on darn, a skin off darn. There'd be different portions in terms of weights as well. Certain customers want 120-gram portion. Certain customers are looking for 150-gram portion. So, salmon as a product might end up with about 6 or 7 different lines there as well. And then cod, hake, sea bass, plaice, would be the main species. At any one stage, we'd have about 40 species within the factory.
40? Not a lot,
species.
Really.
Mm. Yeah.
When you think of the number of types of fish.
Indeed, and when you think of the history, because we, for a long time, we only recorded about 20 species in the statistics.
Mm. Right.
But now, if you go through the statistics, you get over 100 species recorded. Now, a lot of those are... This is caught and brought ashore.
Yeah.
A lot of those would be in very small quantities, but we've enormously widened our range. And there's a market for virtually everything today, which is a bit unfortunate from the fish's point of view.
Yeah.
But just thinking when Anna was talking there, that saying that her biggest selling day was Friday, that old habits die very hard because, of course, it was the church instruction back in the 1950s and 60s that people had to eat meat on a Friday.
Fish
on a Friday. That really started a backlash against it. But for the fishermen of those days, Thursday was the only day of the week they could actually sell fish. And the big time for them during the year was Lent, because there was a ready market for fish during Lent. And they really looked forward to that. If Lent didn't work for them, then there was a possibility they wouldn't survive financially during the year. So things have changed an awful lot.
And are you seeing any growth in the other fish? I mean, what are the other fish? I got an Asian fish book once. I didn't actually realise it was Asian fish book. I just thought it was a fish book, a cooking book. And I didn't recognise any of the fish that they were talking about. I had to get a translation book of what you could use if you can't find tilapia or I don't know.
Tilapia for it as well.
I've seen tilapia.
We have a different water style. But I mean, like, it's so hard to get a mackerel in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's very, very, it's big. It's really big and it's really expensive.
We actually export a lot of mackerel to Japan as well.
Do we?
Yeah. From our company as well, we would export quite a bit of mackerel as well. Smoked mackerel and plain mackerel through our other site in Finglas as well, where we actually smoke salmon and mackerel. Mm.
So there's not much at the moment still for the unusual... More unusual.
The Irish palate seems to be quite
simple,
you know, especially in terms of fish. You know, I've been in the fish business for the best parts of 10 years, and other than hake, I haven't seen that much in terms change. We were just talking a while ago, hake would have been probably 17th or 18th in the order of merit about 6 years ago due to sponsorships and BIM and working with RAF and a few other people. It's probably now up at number 3 or 4.
Mm. So you can get it in fish and chips, in fast food. Now you can get a hake.
Yeah, there
but the boats
a
are actually going for it as well.
Right. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And crayfish as well. I thought that was really tropical to have a crayfish.
Crayfish.
Really?
Are these Irish crayfish?
Like if crayfish cakes, I think they were selling with chips.
Oh yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Howth is
garlic mayo, of course.
Of course.
Howth is a place with a lot of fish shops, and they give the origins of what they're selling.
Mm.
And I've seen crayfish from South America
on
sale there.
Yeah.
And, of course, fish from Africa, from the Far East. You get a lot of things like tilapia that you mentioned farmed. Pancetta is another one. And they're farmed sometimes... They're not the best thing to eat because they're farmed in conditions that are perhaps involve a lot of chemicals and so on.
Right.
But they are certainly on sale. I mean, fish is now a globalised business. There's a huge demand
for it. Well, obviously, you're exporting and importing.
Yeah, and once you get into processed fish, you don't always know what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a boat at one stage in South America, which was producing surimi, little crab sticks. They're pink and white. You see them in supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
And it suggests from the name that they come from crab. But in fact, they were made from pelagic fishes,
mm-hmm.
something like herrings. And they were processed in a very involved process on board.
Oh, yeah, they're plastic, yeah.
Yeah, and so you get a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not even sure
yeah.
where your fish has come from, although it's supposed to have labels, but it doesn't always work. And you can get fish... Certainly, in some of the supermarkets now, you can get Pacific salmon, wild salmon. You can't get Atlantic salmon wild anymore because it's so depleted as a species. It's now really a caged species for us. But you do get a great
during
deal.
The summer months. We can take in a little bit of Scottish wild salmon as well.
Yes, yes.
The seasons for about 4 or 5 weeks. We would normally. Take in for whatever customers are actually looking for wild salmon, but that only opens up for about three to four weeks, and it's very expensive.
I bet it's expensive.
It's very expensive. Yeah.
But that's maybe one of the things is that people have to realise. You know, I'm going to move now to talk about the depletion of the seas.
Mm.
Is to really appreciate. Fish, you know, that it is expensive and it is rare.
Mm.
We're now eating rare species.
Mm.
So, Edward, do you want to tell us a little bit about what's been going on in our seas? What do they look like now?
Well, they have changed a great deal. I mean, we've gone through a very long, difficult period for the industry and, of course, for the fish stocks. Back in the 1950s, when fleets all over the world were expanding and becoming more mechanised and more capable of catching large quantities of fish, and foreign fleets were encroaching more and more in our waters. It was then we began ourselves to demand of our administration that we have better boats and bigger boats. And the big frustration in those days was that we had plenty of fish and not enough boats to catch them. And we've moved from that. When the Common Fisheries Policy came in, the Commission in Brussels, in order to buy people into it, gave them money for bigger and bigger boats. And we've ended up with a huge fleet, which the EU admits is far too large now and a very depleted resource. So that in Ireland, our catches, the volume of catches would have peaked in the late 1990s, and they have declined ever since. And I think if you factor in inflation to the value of our landings, they have halved since 2001. So we are really in a fairly bad situation. Now, that's the same all over Europe. It's not just Ireland. We're importing about 60% of the fish into the European Union from countries like West Africa. We are producing less and less from our own resources. We have a real problem with it. I don't know how it's going to end, but I know with the latest revision of the Common Fisheries Policy that came into force on the 1st of January this year and will gradually introduce various things as time goes by, they are making efforts to put, I think, a brave face on what's happening, but I'm not sure the will is there to actually reverse the trends because it's very, very difficult to do so and it's very costly.
Mm. Mm. Well, I mean, I suppose it's easy enough to compare it to maybe when the coal seams ran out and they started closing coal mines and people's lives, I mean, towns still haven't recovered from
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is not an easy thing to do.
No.
But it is, if you like, it's a vicious circle in that fishermen want more, the resource goes down. The more they take, the less resource there is to supply them with fish next year. Mm-hmm. So it's a spiral of decline, and that's what's happening.
Yes.
And, I mean, we all aspire to fish. It's something that we
there's
really,
a feel-good factor.
There's a feel-good factor about it, but it's also good for our health.
Yeah.
And it's also...
From a nutritional point of view now, and I've worked as a nutritionist there for a few years, fish is very, very important, really
high up there for
being able to take in protein that isn't inflammatory.
Yes.
Because red meats and chicken and everything, they cause so much inflammation in some people.
Yes.
And fish is their only, is their best option. I mean, you've got eggs a little bit and the protein in meat or in vegetables.
Yeah.
But fish is just way up there as a substitute.
I think one of the reasons for the growth in fish eating, because we now eat half the quantity of fish per capita that they eat in Spain. And Spain is a leading nation for fish eating in Europe. But one of the reasons for that was various scares with horse meat and burgers, BSE in cattle and so on, and various problems with
CJD wasn't there?
CJD
as well.
And problems also with poultry and the infection of eggs at one stage. Mm-hmm. It started by Edwina Curry in Britain, if you remember. So there's various reasons that our consumption of fish has grown, but probably the most significant one is the fact that we became richer for a time. And it's a thing of affluent nations. They tend to eat more fish.
Yes, and we have more of a health consciousness really now as well. It's become much more fashionable to eat fish. It's
absolutely
a posh food.
Yes, it is a posh food.
The quantity of some of the primer fish that we would have sold, especially during the boom times, would have been at least five times what we currently sell now. So that's the likes of your tuna fish and your swordfish and your monk fish and so on. People are actually buying more fish now than they were 3 or 4 years ago, but they're going for simpler cuts like ray around the Dublin area, ray our wings, and mackerel's becoming more popular as well. So people are actually buying more fish, but they've actually left the primer fish being.
A fisherman who lived in Howth and has long since gone to his eternal reward, telling me that when they went fishing in the 1960s, if you brought a box of ray into the Dublin market, you got 10 shillings for it. That's less than 50 cents then, but of course the value of money was different.
Yeah.
But if you brought in two boxes, you got nothing because you'd overloaded the market. It was that small.
So that's the way things have changed. Yes, yes.
It's quite dramatic.
Well, I mean, if that's the way the consumer acts, it should become very popular because it's becoming rarer.
Yes,
it's going to become harder to get hold of fish.
Yes,
but Anna, were you involved in fish? You're from Poland originally. Yeah, were you involved with the fish business in Poland at all before you came over?
No, not really. No.
Did you eat fish growing up, or would you have had?
Absolutely, yes. We do. We eat much more fish in Poland, but more kind of sweetwater fish.
What sweetwater fish?
I would say
freshwater.
Sorry, freshwater.
Oh yeah,
it's like carp and let's say trout as well. And we have. We get more because I'm from south of Poland, which is more mountains, and we get frozen fish. We don't get fresh from the sea as much. Maybe that's why the cuisine.
And a lot of your fish, you will be buying whole as well, where you don't buy like in Ireland.
That's right. Yeah. Let's say herrings are really, really popular. They are common in different vinaigrettes.
Do we buy herrings at all here?
We do.
We used to have very big herring fisheries.
Not popular now.
It's not, and it's another interesting thing about the marketing of fish that we had enormous herring stocks. And when intervention came in 1976, this was the first of the common market policies, the first of the common fisheries policies, and it was a market support policy. So if I went out and I caught too much cod and I brought it in, it was put on sale at auction, first sale. Mm. And if it didn't reach a threshold price, then it was withdrawn and it went to fish meal. But if there was no factory available, which very often happened because most of the factories were up in Killybegs and the fish might be landed into Cork or something like that, then it was sprayed with gentian violet so to prevent it being sold a second time and dumped back at sea. And everybody started fishing then for intervention, and they'd go out, and a lot of the herrings and some mackerel, the mackerel stocks were a lot bigger, but a lot of the herring stocks went to intervention. They were just dumped.
And what's herring like now? Is there much?
Well, had been a very large market for herring. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Oh, yes.
It was always a food, particularly of the poor, because it's an oily food, and the poor couldn't always afford butter, and they liked the oil in the herring to put on their bread. But once the market went, when the stocks came back a bit, and they never came back to the strength they were before the disaster happened.
The customer went as well.
The customer had gone. Mm. And
the
this
customer's
is it.
Gone.
So if you're going to keep fish business going, you have to keep the supply going. And for that reason...
We export a lot of... Ireland exports a lot of herrings. Most of the herrings that would land now would be exported out of Ireland, and a lot of them would now be going to France.
Really?
Yes. Mm.
And just out of interest, I haven't cooked herring. What's the best way to cook? Is it like a mackerel, or what way would you cook a herring?
I would say it's more like a kipper, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, you can do so many things with it, but it's not really popular, and no one have asked me about herring yet. Yeah. But I would marinate them. I would fry them, smoke them.
Marinate them in what would you marinate them in?
Vinaigrettes and onions and oils.
Do you make roll mops?
Olive oils
with them?
And roll mops, yeah.
Yeah,
delicious.
Is really that nice. What you do with the... Is that a good idea with oily fish? The mackerel is an oily...
Mackerel is
I overdid it on mackerel one time.
Mackerel, it's really gorgeous smoked. I actually have a smoked mackerel salad in the shop now. And not many customers asking me about it at all. Like, there's so many things we could do with the fish if it comes to not making so much waste, just throwing it into a food.
Yeah.
Not only fish cakes, I'm talking having little roll mops making with your tapas platter with a glass of wine in the evening.
Beautiful.
It would be absolutely delicious.
Yeah, making me hungry.
I used to advise people to hide it in mashed potato if they were trying to get kids to eat fish.
The trouble with herring and mackerels is very bony. I mean, you could choke your kids that way very easily, I imagine.
Mm. I don't
know. Well, mackerels now, they're
Most of them would be butterflied. They're trying to actually take the bone out of them now.
And do you have fresh herrings in your shop?
No,
because I think if you get fresh herrings, people will buy them.
That's what I
imagine they will.
If they know what to do with them, they will. But they need to know what to do with them.
Well, I mean, just fry them up. People actually buy sardines in some of the supermarkets.
And tell people how to cook fish or scallop, but... Yeah, I'm thinking now I'm going to start doing this cookery classes, maybe Monday, Tuesday, the very, very quiet days, and maybe talk more about fish to people and get them more.
If I could get to them, I'd love it. Because I, at one point, now I'm digressing a little bit, but there was a multicultural food festival held in Balbriggan a few years ago. And the people were given their ingredients, and so many of the African ladies made fish dishes with herbs and spices that I just don't know what they must have used, because the taste of the fish was wonderful. Like, it was nearly addictive. Beautiful, beautiful plates, which I've tried. That's why I bought the book in the first place, of the cookbook. I tried to recook them. I can't. So I'd
There's
love
so
to know.
There's so many spices we don't have it here. We just don't have it. There's so many fish.
The Asian spice shops might have them. Might
I think they would. If you go to St. Fontilla, one of those places, they've... great ranges of spices down there, and it'd be an idea, in fact, to stock some of those spices in your shop, because
if you did
some recipe leaflets, I think that you would probably be on to a winner there,
or link in with the vegetable shop. They have a few different bits and pieces. Anyway, sorry, we're getting very but that's some of those fish if I knew how to cook them, and I'm fairly common person, I tend to move
Pop
with the masses,
Monday,
you know.
It is still probably three of the main reasons why people are still not buying fish, is that they don't know what to actually do with it, the smell, and the third one is, I can't think of it, but there was definitely three of them. There was the smell, people don't know what to do with it. And
they don't like the look of the eye, somebody once told me. They don't like a fish looking at them.
Yeah. So most people want me to take the head off.
That's right.
Can you take the head off?
Well, now, it's very sad because I'm really enjoying this, actually, and I am starting to get very hungry, actually, as well. We have a few minutes now to finish up. We have a problem where we love fish. Fish is gorgeous. we're running out of the resource. Have we any? I know there's some suggestions in the common fisheries policy. They are a little bit loose, I have to say, having read legislation before.
Yeah.
It talks about, well, if there's a problem, we'll do a report.
Yes.
You know,
they're good at doing reports.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
And that they're giving a huge time change that they're going to improve things by 2020.
Hmm.
So there's no kind of push, there's no legislation.
No.
If it doesn't seem, you know, we'll put something in place, without saying what the something is, and there's very little legislation behind it. But it's trying to go in. I mean, it's going to need more information probably.
Well,
from
you see, the trouble is, this is what we've been getting virtually since the thing started. And we now have the problem, which we described as too many boats chasing too few fish. And there's no way of breaking that cycle. And they haven't really... They have had decommissioning schemes. And they work by actually taking boats out of service. But they do it by rewarding the owners of the boats fairly handsomely. Mm. And the owners of the boats then buy more boats with the money they get.
Yes, by bigger, faster boats.
So that is what... Yes, faster boats. They may not be as big. They may not be able to exploit the same species. But they're still putting pressure on the environment. And, of course, everything is interlinked through food webs. The other thing that is happening is that fishermen are extraordinarily versatile and capable people. I mean, we dismiss them as people who do a job that we don't really want to think about, but they know about gear, they know about hydraulics, they know about radar, they know about electronics and so on, and they are constantly improving their operations. So this technology creep makes them more efficient by about 4% per year overall, whereas only 2 to 3% of the boats are being taken out of commission. So it is a losing battle. We have a spiral of decline. Mm. I don't know how we're going to get out of it. And that
it's
is
difficult.
A big challenge.
And we don't want to leave people jobless completely.
Absolutely
Niall,
not.
Niall, have you any thoughts on that? No.
No, I don't actually.
Moving on.
I was actually thinking of something completely different there.
Were
so,
you?
Yes, I was.
You
yeah.
were hungry now. Yeah. You're thinking of dinner. Yeah. Anna, would you like to say a few words? Encourage people to eat fish or
yes,
respect
absolutely.
Fish? Or
I think fish is so healthy and I think it's delicious. There's different type of fish and it goes so well with a glass of wine or just it really is amazing.
Glass
I
of wine seems to appear on all of your fish
yeah,
dishes.
I'm dying for one. But I love a butterfly mackerel on the brown soda bread in the morning. It's just my favorite. I think
we could.
I'm not saying this as a fishmonger. I'm just saying for our own health. And we should all eat more fish.
And really, we need to respect our fish and realise what a precious commodity it is that we have. Mm. It's very likely to go up in price. It's well worth it though as well because they are endangered species, of course. That's it, I'm afraid, for this week's programme, Europe On Air. We're coming back next week with the subject of gender equality. So that could get very feisty. I don't know who's coming on for that, but I know that I've had many argy-bargies over gender equality.
I'm glad I'm not.
We've got lovely gender equality here, of course. That would be a tough one. So thank you very much to the Near production team for putting the programme together today. And thank you very, very much to my guests, Edward Fahey, Anna Shevchik and Niall McComish. Thanks very much for coming.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Europe on Air.
Europa por las ondas.
Europa auf Sendung.
Europe on Air.
Europe on Air. Near FM's new weekly half-hour programme looking at themes including migration, education, mass media, religion, agriculture, gender, environmental policies and much more. Tune in every Thursday 4:30 to 5 p.m. Europe On Air radio campaign has been financed by the European Union. The contents of the radio shows reflect only the author's views, and the Commission is not responsible for any use that may be made of the information they contain.